from the Pittsburgh Comics Podcast. No, it's not. It's the Red Chair Dialogues, number four.
It's not the Red Shoe.
No.
Not like on Wednesday when you said that.
But this is our more low-key, just sitting around BSing kind of podcast. And it was, we started, it was just me and Adam sitting in the red chairs, hence the name.
Yeah, now we have.
And now we like have a table and chairs and all sorts of craziness going on. What?
Resting arm?
Well, and I mean, the idea is for people to come and go while this is going on. So if anybody comes in, that's great.
Hello.
There you go.
So introduce yourselves.
This is Adam Russell.
Chad Ramston.
Ryan Sargent.
Jesse Debick.
And what did you read, Ryan? You haven't been to one of these.
No, I have. Wow, it's my first red chair.
Yeah.
Well, I was telling you guys earlier when I came in, I reread the first issue of Wonder Woman. Because everybody's talking about Wonder Woman and how cool it is. Yes. And I have been looking to get some other DC books. There were some DC books that I had stopped getting. So I was interested in looking into Wonder Woman, kind of fill a gap. And I reread the first issue, and I liked it a lot more than the first time I did read it. I guess I understand Azzarello's telling like a bigger story. You know, he's not just going to give everything away in one issue. So I'm going to... Yeah. I picked up the other issues today, and I'm going to see how much more I like it. I really like Cliff Chang's art.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty decent.
Too. It works for it. And, I'm with you. The first issue didn't really get me. At first, I was actually... I didn't stick to my own rule of not dropping a new book before the arc's over.
Yeah.
I would have dropped it because I wasn't enjoying it. I think a lot of people did drop it because of the first issue.
Yeah.
I like it so far. I think it's pretty cool. I don't want to give anything away because you haven't read anything yet. But this last issue was kind of cool and how the transition into the next issue.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away, as I said, but I really liked how they did that. They ended with one enemy and just transitioned into some other enemy. So that was kind of neat.
Are you guys reading Red Hood?
No, I dropped that after two.
I actually dropped that at one.
Colin and I were talking about this yesterday, and I'm telling you what, it's completely did a 180. It's like one of it's probably one of my favorite new 52.
Uh-huh.
My main thing, I didn't.
Colin's making faces.
Ah,
no.
Good faces.
No. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Yeah, sorry. Hang on. Never mind. Adam, go on.
With this book, with Red Hood, the only reason I just didn't really like it wasn't the Jason Todd I was expecting that they created for Batman.
Yeah.
It totally just went in another direction. I feel like I lost that character, that Batman villain that I thought was really interesting. You never had a Robin become a Batman or a bad guy.
Yeah.
So that's my main reason. I didn't just find much interest in it. This, you know, the team, it was weird team up. I mean, besides maybe, Red Arrow.
Yeah.
Besides Red Arrow, which I guess they're calling what, Arsenal?
Arsenal, yeah.
Besides him, Starfire, that seemed kind of odd, so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of my thoughts on that book.
Yeah. That's kind of how I felt about it. It wasn't, I mean, I really liked Red Hood, Under the Red Hood, the animated movie, and, then I had read the books that story came from, and I liked that, and I liked Morrison's interpretation of Jason Todd and Batman and Robin, but, I mean, I would, because I'm a Morrison fan.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel the same. I think it's mainly Lobdell's writing style I just can't get into. It's just, he writes I don't know how to explain it. It's just, I don't know, not for me, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like he goes in a lot of different directions at once, and I kind of want him to just
stick with one thing.
Yeah, like all of a sudden he was going back to these crazy Tibetan ninjas and all this other stuff, and, you know, Starfire's walking around, and she's kind of a mystery as to why she's acting so peculiarly, so strangely.
Yeah. Kind of comes together, though, in this last issue.
Okay, see, that's what I heard. And
and I hadn't read the issue prior, and as I'm turning through it, and I think I showed you the costume.
Yeah, you did, and I liked that. I like Nightwing's costume.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my god, this makes sense. This is their first meeting.
Yeah.
And then it explains, like, the history of them all being in Teen Titans at one point. And
yeah.
It was pretty neat.
So it might have been one of those issues of just becoming with the New 52.
Right.
Because there's been a few like that that are kind of hard to pinpoint, like what's going on because of that.
Yeah.
I think it's all going to come together with Pandora. She's going to tell everybody what's going on.
Yeah, I read today that she's supposed to be in the Free Comic Book Day issue. Like, she is the Free Comic Book Day issue, basically. So.
That's cool.
And then also, I'm reading it about Wally West.
Yeah, see, I thought that headline was confusing on Bleeding Cool because it said the return of Wally West, and then the article basically says that they're just not ruling out his death or appearance either way, which that's been their stance so far, but I really want Wally to come back. So.
You haven't seen him at all. What is he coming back
in? They haven't said. I mean, I
think he might be coming back in Earth 2.
I think he might be in Earth 2.
Because that's where they're saying Dawn of in Earth 2.
Huh. I'm still wondering. I've actually, I've liked Teen Titans. Teen Titans has been one of mine that I was kind of wondering if I would like or not. It's not really, Superboy I've had the biggest issue with. Because Superboy, I don't see there being a point of that comic book even being in existence.
Which book, I'm sorry?
Superboy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What? Best book there is.
Are you really liking it?
I love it.
Well, that's good.
It's my favorite character.
I liked it for a while, but I think my problem with it is that I feel like he's expanding on the story of Teen Titans with Superboy, but I just feel like it could all be condensed into one story.
Did you read the last issue?
Number 6 now.
With his meeting with
Supergirl? No, I didn't catch that one.
We talked about it last week. It touched a little bit more on the clones saga of Krypton.
Okay.
I guess there was a huge...
From like Krypton's past? Where,
yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, because they had their own clone wars and stuff in the old continuity.
Yeah, Supergirl was not very happy. She figured out he was a clone.
I think we need that.
She wasn't very happy about him being...
Ask our guest about Walking Dead, her take on it.
We can.
I don't want to interrupt your conversation.
It's a dialogue.
It's free flow.
It's a free
flow. We don't have a schedule of this one.
Yeah, talk Walking Dead.
I think I just finished the compendium of the first 48 issues, and I'm going to buy book 9 today and go to, I think, 54?
I think so.
And so far I'm pretty disappointed at the lack of a strong female character without some sort of inherent issues.
Huh.
Like, Lori is whiny and kind of dependent, and then we have Carol, who in the show is also whiny and dependent, but in the book is just crazy. And I've just not seen any evidence that there's a strong woman anywhere in the show or the book.
Huh. Which one is Carol?
Andrea.
Sophia's mom.
Yeah, but she has her issues because she's just so, like, violent. I think her excessive violence.
What, Michonne? Too violent?
That's what I asked her. She identified Michonne at all. But
In the TV show, I find her funny because she, like, pulls out guns and she's like, she's like RoboCop. So
she is.
But I guess I found it disturbing that she kind of allied herself with Shane in the show. Because he's kind of like the trade, you know, evil guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think much of her character, I guess. And I just haven't seen anyone who stands out as being independent and strong without being excessively violent or crazy. I don't know. As a woman, that bothers me, but I still love the story.
Yeah. One character I really like in that whole series is Dale.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think he's, in a way, the most normal person there. He's just, you know, doing his thing of how he usually does. I don't know. For some reason, he just... And I know it's different in the TV show than the book, but T-Dog in the show, who I guess doesn't ever exist. I don't know. I haven't read any further into that.
I haven't seen
their relationship is kind of... They're, like, more friends because they're the kind of... As T-Dog put it in the show, he's kind of the weak one.
Yeah.
T-Dog.
Yeah. T-Dog.
And at first, I couldn't figure out, remember what his name was. I kept calling him T-Bone.
I did that a couple times.
And I was just sitting there, and I was like, oh, that's T-Bone. And then we were looking at the credits. I was like, oh, it's T-Dog.
Well, close.
I tried. I can't remember them all.
You sound like such a hipster.
Yeah, T-Dog. T-Dog. I wonder what his real name is.
I don't know if they've ever established that. And then
I don't think they do.
This is kind of random, but something in the first season, they had kind of, maybe, I guess they didn't really develop her character very well, and I guess that's why she died at the end of the first season, but the other woman that was with them that stayed at the CDC,
yeah.
I don't remember, but she, like, right, you know, when they were leaving, she was like, I'm going to stay, and T-Dog was like, what, no, and he looked so heartbroken, and she was like, oh, honey, it's for the best, and I was like, wait, are they, like, together? They didn't really establish this, and I don't think they were.
I pulled that out, because yesterday I was watching this with my father.
Okay.
And, I mentioned that. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, you know, she just calls him sweetie.
Yeah, when he walks away.
And I was like, are they together? But you know what? She just, like, I think she just is one of those people that calls people, like, sweetie, hon.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
You know? So I thought that would, but I actually thought that myself.
I think the most important thing they had is when they had to go in the, well, they thought they were going to go in the sewers in the first season. And she was like, oh, yeah, there's a sewer here. I'm a city planner. And they were like, oh, okay, we'll believe you. And then she was quiet for three episodes, and then she got blown up. So
she got blown up.
I don't know.
It's almost like they didn't know what to do with her.
Yeah.
I feel like she could have been a strong character if she wouldn't have killed herself.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Well, she was kind of a strong character, yeah, if you remember. She was actually fighting when she... fighting about the whole doing laundry thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And she sat there and she,
That's true.
Was like, oh, you know, the chores here, you know, they're kind of one-sided, you know, well, Shane's over there catching frogs, they're all doing laundry, and then Glenn's sitting there watching them all, or Ed.
Yeah, she mouthed off to Ed. She was the first one to not mouthed off, you know what I mean, but she was the first one to speak up to Ed.
I think it was something, like, there was a phrase somewhere along the lines of, I see where the division of labor lies.
Yeah, that's it. I see where the division of labor lies.
And it sticks, like, you know, traditional gender roles.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny that they mentioned that, because I had been thinking it, too.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting that everything just falls apart, how things kind of reverted.
Yeah.
You know, back to you know, where it was, you know, before that.
You know, like 100 years before.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. In fact, I thought they would do more with that. But they kind of were just like, you know, they're all doing their part. But that didn't happen. It just all of a sudden kind of happened. They all started doing more. But, like, who was the guy? The family that left. The father.
Oh, the, yeah. When they just brought
the fish. The two sisters brought the fish. Uh-huh. And he was just like, oh, you know, you girls, because of you, my kids will eat tonight. I was like, well, that's kind of nice. Because, you know, he thanked them for doing that. He didn't do anything to get food for his family. Yeah. So
we're talking the Hispanic family, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they just kind of peaced out.
They went off on their own.
They were just like, you know, I'm staying away from you people.
They were like, I think they were going to his wife's family.
They said something to the fact that they had family in another area.
Yeah.
So, who knows? We might see them again. I doubt it.
Maybe as well.
Yeah.
That'd be sad.
Have you watched it all? Are you keeping up with it?
Yeah, I have to watch bits and pieces, and then I get back and watch them again. I'm kind of looking forward to that the first two individuals, the black guy and his son.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to them making a comeback.
That's going
to
be the Christmas issue.
Sure.
You mentioned that. That makes
sense. Well, it showed up in the compendium.
But it was a Christmas special.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a Christmas special. It's going to be the Walking Dead Christmas special.
Right.
It's going to be a 20 minutes.
We're going to hang the bulbs on the zombies. And
Did you know? Did you ever see the book?
No, I haven't. I haven't read that part yet.
He hasn't read the compendium yet because failed.
She hasn't passed it to me yet.
But. I think wasn't it the last part of the...
Yeah, it was the very last, like,
couple
pages.
And they did the backup story of where they're spending Christmas in a house. And
oh, interesting. All right.
The zombies are coming with reindeer antlers. I'm joking.
That would be beautiful.
I hear tapping on the roof. Santa must be here.
Turns out that Santa is a zombie.
Uh-huh. Oh, that would be so
funny. When Rudolph's nose is like half...
Yeah.
Like, not Santa, too.
Yes, kind of.
Maybe elves.
Up.
Yeah, the dentist. What was the dentist's name? The dentist elf?
I don't remember.
Oh, those Herbie. Old.
Herbie.
The Herbie, yeah.
Herbie just pulling your tail.
I feel like zombie elves would be, like, supremely more disturbing.
Yes, they'd be little.
They make messed up toys,
and yeah.
They go after your kneecaps.
Yeah.
That's the same reason I find little dogs disturbing.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Little dogs. That one that just came through here, I was just like...
Now we just have to mention Saved by the Bell, and you'll be totally lost.
All right.
You know, with the idea that the disturbing Christmas type, Neil Gaiman, totally off subject, I know.
That's okay.
But Neil Gaiman's story, did you guys read it? Nicholas Was?
No, I've never read it.
Oh, just it's in one of his short story books.
Okay.
Basically, he gives a different view of St. Nicholas in that he's a captive. He hates every second of it. The elves are kind of forcing him to do things. You know, yeah. Talking about zombie elves, that kind of made me go in that direction. It's really worth reading. Yeah. Maybe a page.
Okay.
Did you, off the same idea, did you happen to see the Family Guy Christmas special this year?
No, I did not.
It was really close to that,
actually.
It was
very similar idea. Yeah. It was disturbing.
They probably ripped it right off in Neil Gaiman.
Probably. It was very similar.
It's like Stewie gets upset because he figures out that Santa Claus at the mall isn't Santa Claus. So Brian tries to take him to one of those, like, fake Santa's workshop towns. And he, like, just gets fed up and, like, kidnaps Brian. And they decide to go to the North Pole. And when they get there, Santa's workshop is, like, this awful industrial factory with, like, smog pouring out of it.
Yeah, so it's, like, the same idea.
Yeah, and, like, Santa's like, we've been here for so long that, like, people expect Christmas, but we can't keep up with how many kids there are now. And, like, he's like, we've, like, inbred the reindeer, so, like, they're these awful mongrel creatures, and the elves are all just, like, dumbed down from years of inbreeding, and Santa, like, is old and has cancer, and he's just like, I hate my life.
We
were like, all right, Family Guy, this will be hilarious. And she was like, this is awful.
I mean, it depends on your field of vision there. I mean, what are you seeing when you look at Santa and the whole idea of who's running the show, the elves or him? I mean, he does go out on his own all the time, and you're thinking, you know, does this guy really enjoy this?
Uh-huh.
Or is he doing it because he has to?
That poor old man, no soul.
Oh, boy. You know, when Chad brought up the whole thing about that dentist elf, I've never been that fond of claymation or anything when I was a kid. I was kind of, so telling me that and then adding up to that, it's just one of the most terrifying things.
Okay. So it's, you know, I had,
that we can have made.
This is kind of random, but I'll get it back to comics, sort of, is that the other day it occurred to me that, you know, Santa Claus lives in the North Pole, but so does Superman, so I bet they're, like, really cool friends.
That's true. That's comic related.
They're really cool friends.
They're really, like, you know, Superman walks out in his, like, red robe with his coffee and get his newspaper, and there's some penguins.
No, cool and, I think she in the pun. North Pole. I was going for the pun.
Yeah. And Superman says, ice to see you, Santa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then he's got the Heat Meisner and the Snow Meisner.
Yeah. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger shows up and they sing, and it's an awful Batman movie. And,
Are you, like, going general
chill
out with that?
No, I was going to, you haven't seen the Batman movie where Schwarzenegger
What's
is
funny, though, with your with your pun on cool and his on chill out and freeze.
Uh-huh.
And back to Kevin Bacon.
Everybody wants to go back to Kevin Bacon.
Well, he was Sebastian Shaw.
See? It all comes back to comics.
Yeah.
Colin, you finally saw First Class, speaking of. How did you like
it?
You
did.
Yeah.
Oh, he has to walk over to contribute.
He's coming.
You get weird echoes every now and then.
Yeah, no, I thought it was real good. Yeah, of course, we decided to start this and the store fills up. which is good. Hey, we should do it more often. Yeah. All day, every day. No, I thought it was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to see more of that.
Cool.
More of that storyline. I like, you know, it's a natural reason Magneto and Charles don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like how they make it so that Magneto not necessarily caused his injury, but was involved.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was neat, as opposed to Kane Marco, who cares?
Yeah.
It was kind of the vibe of Ultimate X-Men, though.
Yeah. Yeah, because in Ultimate X-Men, they had a disagreement, and Magneto shoved a big metal spike through his spine. Yeah. So,
yeah.
He escapes.
Now he can walk.
But it it makes Magneto more sympathetic.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But you can also see why he's as angry.
Yeah.
You know, and I like the thing with Shaw. I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
He still killed my
Wait a minute. Yeah. What do you mean he can walk now?
It was a joke.
Oh, I was going to say he's dead.
But no, I really like to, and I hope they flesh out some of those characters. Like, they really didn't explain Banshee and the others. So it'd be nice to see if they do another one and flesh those guys out a little more.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think I read somewhere, I think it was on Bleeding Cool, actually, that they were talking about Scott and Jean and all of them coming into the mix.
I would hope they save that for later. That's the thing. I liked the first couple X-Men movies, but I felt, I don't know, I don't want them to feel like they have to tie this new series into.
It seems like that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is we all have to agree that the Wolverine movie didn't exist.
I'm fine with that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because that made no sense whatsoever if you tie it into this movie.
No.
I liked his cameo. I thought that was good.
The cameo.
The only problem with the cameo is means my kids will never see the movie.
Right, exactly. Not so, for many, many moons.
Right, but by the time many, many moons...
They won't care about
X-Men. There'll be 14 other X-Men books or movies out.
Also,
so.
This is I just thought that was just
ridiculous.
We might not make it to another X-Men movie. Oops.
Oh, great.
At least we'll get Batman.
Can we get Dark Knight Rises first? Maybe. Oh, it's not until December.
The world ends. Okay. Oh, it's December. Oh,
the world ends in December and Batman comes out in July.
Good.
Oh, thank
you. July.
Yeah.
We're good. Woo! Good.
At least I get to see that in the Avengers.
Did you guys see the new trailer for Spider-Man? Amazing Spider-Man?
Yes.
What do you think about it? Not sold on?
Well, I'm sold on certain parts of it. Like, Chad was talking about it today a little bit, too.
Okay.
I like that he's comes with his quips, does. The only problem is, it seems very dark compared to what Spider-Man really should be.
Yeah, parts of it seem kind of, like, emo-y.
Exactly. And that's where I don't think it's going to catch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you don't have characters. It doesn't look like we have a J. Jonah Jameson.
I'm really disappointed because I want J.K. Simmons
to come back.
How can
you not have J. Jonah Jameson in a Spider-Man movie?
But he's in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah, but this movie.
I'm kind of excited about that cartoon.
Unless
it goes in the way of the comic book.
I really like Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes, so if it's similar to that, I think I'll like it. But
I know Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Okay.
So they've got him in it, so it's making sense. It's going to be a connection between that movie and the Avengers movie.
Right.
I think it's going to bring it together. It's going to hence kind of further the Marvel Spider-Man kind of... cameo that's supposed to happen.
Isn't that the rumor? Yeah, that he's or that Red Skull is going to be in Spider-Man or vice versa.
Well, it makes sense though because Peter's parents were killed by.
Is
the
it
Red
the
Skull.
Same production studio?
No, they're different. That's why there's
probably not going to happen.
Yeah,
but
that's a lot
and
of money changes.
What's the actor's name that's playing Peter?
Andrew Garfield.
Yes,
and he's in his interview when he said, "You know, I got it was great to be on their set. You know, it was cool to do a cameo both as Peter and
Spider-Man
and Spider-Man."
No, maybe lots of money did exchange hands.
Well, it makes sense. They used to do that back in the golden age of films.
With
different studios would.
Oh well, yeah.
Yeah, lend.
Everybody's under contract, so they'll say, okay, you can have Cary Grant for a movie and a half, and then.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm kind of like, more. I think the summer the movies are coming out. I'm really excited. I mean, especially the Three Stooges.
Oh, I am too. And I'm sure I'll, but there's good things about the Spider-Man movie that I saw. Like, as you were saying today, the web shooters. He's actually.
Thank goodness they're mechanical.
Yeah.
Because it gives that whole, oh, no, they're not. They're jammed.
Yeah. Because it's so thrill. I never can't do that so much, though. After a while, it's just like, oh, they're jammed again.
Yeah, I never had a problem with the biological web shooters, other than the fact that I got too scientific with it, and I was just like, you'd have to eat a massive amount of protein to keep making webbing. Like, I just imagine him, like, shugging down fish and red meat, and...
He does.
And if they run out, does he have to take Cialis to get them working again? Yeah.
But yeah, we do get that in the comics a lot, or even the 90s cartoon. That was, like, how they did every cliffhanger in the 90s cartoon. It was like, oh, no, I'm falling. I'll just shoot some web. Oh, no, I'm empty. Oh, no, now there's a big pointy fence down there. Yeah, exactly.
To be continued.
Yeah, to be continued, yeah.
Yeah.
Then we get the really cool 90s theme song, and I'd be like, no, over my cornflakes. But, I don't know. I hope
it was followed by the tick.
I miss that show a lot.
I got two DVDs, but the third DVD that ends the series, it's not in America.
Yeah. What?
They never brought it out.
Well, oh, you mean it's just...
I can get it in Europe.
Okay,
I had that problem with the movie I was trying to buy, too.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get it at Five Below, then. And then it's all subtitled.
But it's... I thought you meant, like, you had all three discs, and then you put in the third disc, and it was, like, only in Spanish or something. That would be really weird. No, yeah.
Filipino.
No, I had to, they never brought out in America the third disc. So
it was only in the Blue Tribe.
No.
The Indigo Tribe.
But, that was a funny show.
Yeah.
I watched that, like, all last year. Well, not all last year. Like, in the winter, I got
just all day, every day, that's all you watched.
Yeah, I was just watching it for a little while. Oh, jeez. That really takes you back, though.
Yeah, it does.
I broke out the old, to take you back, the Super Nintendo.
in the Death of Superman video game?
Yes.
Oh my god, this is awesome.
That was a good video game. It was basically, it's like any side-scrolling beat-em-up ever, but you're Superman, and then Superman dies, and then you're Cyborg Superman, and then you're Superboy, and then you're Steel, and it's awesome.
You get to be Steel?
You get to be, you get to be Steel, don't you?
Yeah. Let's talk about something that's never been recorded on probably any comic book podcast.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Shaquille O'Neal is Steel.
The greatest movie, and I to this day, I have a petition about it. He should have won an Academy Award for that.
Who else would you have chose for Steel? I mean, yeah, the movie... It was awful.
So now we're going to stereotype here.
We could have brought in Kermit the Frog, and it would have been better.
So,
in that era, who was the prominent actor? Wesley Snipes? Was he still in New Jack City? Was that New Jack City time?
I don't know. I wasn't. I was just a tyke.
I was too.
I remember seeing Steel and thinking, why am I watching this movie? And then I haven't watched cartoons or something. And then
they even had a Steel cartoon. Well, no, that it was a Shaq cartoon.
Yeah, he was a superhero basketball guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Shaq. Really? Shaq Fu.
I guess, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wasn't it? Yeah, Shaq Fu, the video game?
Shaq Fu.
Was it like Mortal Kombat, but with Shaq?
I think so, yeah.
It seems like
Shaq. He was on everything.
Yeah. The Shaq cartoon, they kind of stole the idea of the whole flaming basketball guy from. They did all the sports games, and the more you scored. Catch Fire.
Oh, NBA Jam.
Yeah. And Blitz. Well, they kind of stole that feel.
Okay.
I'm going to see Ghost Rider this evening.
I heard all kinds of good stuff about that.
Yeah, I didn't know it was directed by the guys who did Crank. And that kind of makes me interested, because I really liked Crank, but I don't care for Nicolas Cage, so...
Well, didn't he go crazy in filming this film?
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, like...
Hasn't he already been crazy?
No, I mean, weren't the police called? He was living in some home that wasn't
probably.
His?
I didn't hear anything about
and
it.
They were like, we're staying here.
Did you see him on SNL last
I heard
weekend?
That was hilarious.
Was that,
really
fun, was that when he was down in New Orleans?
Yes.
Okay, yeah,
it
I remember
been,
that.
But, so, I mean, are you excited to go see it?
You know what?
Are you a Ghost Rider fan?
I like, the first movie was,
yeah.
But I still just thought the visuals were pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there, what else am I going to go see? There's an artist movie out tonight.
Yeah.
I really don't want to sit there and read.
Yeah, we were debating that. We were going to see the
That's
Woman
why
in
I
Black.
Really enjoyed the Avenging Spider-Man book.
Oh, yeah, what about it?
There's
what?
No words in it. It's like,
oh, or just real simple.
Yeah.
Pictures.
I can hit. It's awesome.
I see. I got the first issue of that, and
it was the movie Hawkeye.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, you've got to read that. That is
maybe
painful.
First issue of Avenging Spider-Man didn't do a whole lot for me. I liked the preview. That was why I got the book, because I liked him teaming up with Ralk.
Yeah, well, the only reason I got it was because of the art. It was Joe Madd.
There you go. Yeah, oh yeah. So yeah, I've never been a big Joe Madd fan either. I got into that because it was a time when I was like, I'm going to branch out away from DC. I'm going to read other stuff.
You should see what this young man behind us is, what his books are.
They all Marvel books?
And Ralk. Superboy.
Oh, there you go.
And
automatically your favorite.
He's my new favorite customer. He does no wrong in my eyes.
There you go.
So I'm looking at the cast list of...
For Ghost Rider?
No, of Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
And
Martin Sheen.
Is casted in this movie, like any movie.
Good, he should be.
But his character is called Stan the Librarian.
He better say, "Hey, keep it quiet down there." that's all he says to the whole movie.
Excelsior.
Yes.
I loved him in, what was it, Mallrats?
Oh,
yeah.
Not to bring it back to Kevin Smith, but that was really
funny. Were we recording at the time when we were talking about him?
No, we weren't.
Oh, okay, so we're good.
Yeah, the thing was... Is he Rock everywhere?
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets Brody's...
Yeah, Brody's just like, yeah, don't worry about it.
See, Thomas Howell is Ray.
That's awesome.
Who's Ray?
Ray Palmer.
You gotta have a Ray.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ray Palmer.
It's C. Thomas Howell.
Ray Palmer in Spider-Man.
I guess.
He makes a cautious train.
Yeah.
Back to when you guys said you felt Spider-Man was kind of on the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Just for me personally, do you guys remember the story that where Kraven buries Spider-Man alive?
Yeah. Kraven's Last Hunt.
Okay. Yeah. As dark as that was,
mm-hmm.
again, just maybe it's just me, that was probably one of my all-time favorite storylines. Oh, yeah. And if this movie is even a little bit close to being that dark, I'm going to like it, because I am a huge Spider-Man fan, but I've been so disappointed in the last 10-plus years of the books. And if it leans dark, okay, I know Spider-Man is supposed to be happy and jovial and jokester, ha-ha-ha. Mm-hmm. But if it gets a little serious, maybe that's where, you know, some of these characters need to go, you know, to grab a hold of non-comic book people.
Yeah,
that's fanboys actually, can only go so far.
Well, that's not actually why I'm saying that. I agree. I don't mind a dark Spider-Man story either. That was a good story, what you were just talking about. My thing is, this is supposed to be a reboot. It's a first movie. It's Spider-Man is usually directed towards a younger audience, or it's tried to be. As a first telling of Spider-Man, I think that's going to set the wrong message for what the character is. And I think that's where my issue mainly lies. All in all,
that makes perfect sense.
That's why I think I'm torn between the movie, because frankly, I think it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if it's gonna be worth it, because I don't know if it's going to catch. You know
just
what I mean? Because
segues into a clone saga.
So we can have free Spider-Man.
I just hope I don't ever go anywhere near Venom again. I just thought that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. Sorry. Hey, I'm back. Hey, the Venom part I really enjoyed, but it was so short.
Yeah, I didn't.
The Sandman stuff I could have looked at.
Anytime you have two villains, it's.
Yeah, I don't understand why they have to.
Look at the Batman. Yeah. Look at the Batman.
See, I thought Batman Returns worked. Batman Forever is always going to be one of my favorites. I know it's really clunky with Riddler and Two-Face, but I think you can make two villains work. It's just,
I think that's
if they do it right.
Great.
Holy shnikes, Batman.
Holy great.
Yeah.
Shnikes. There's a book, a Batman book out there. It's got all of the holy whatevers that Robin has ever said.
Oh, yeah?
There's like 500 of them.
I'll have to look that up.
The shnikes one?
I don't think so. Okay. I think guacamole was.
When I heard New Jack City, I knew this thing completely off the rails.
Holy Molars was my all-time favorite. Holy
we
Molars,
were talking Batman. About Steel.
Who would you cast as Steel besides Shaq? Anyone.
It can't be Michael Clark Duncan.
He wasn't even around then.
No, I mean, if we made a mini movie either.
Like a Steel movie now?
In that era, it would have been Samuel L. Jackson, because he was being cast as Crackhead in every movie. You look at his first couple movies,
yeah.
He was Crackhead.
I don't know what else he was in then.
He was in Coming to America.
Crackhead, Mace Windu.
Okay.
Coming into the America, he was the crackhead that robbed the place.
Yeah, okay. That's right. That's
I've only seen parts of that one.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his IMDb, it says crackhead.
Oh, no.
New Mesha.
I see what you're saying about the Spider-Man thing, though. I wouldn't be opposed to them doing dark stuff. I mean, the whole story about Peter's parents is kind of depressing.
Dark stuff, but not dark Peter Parker strutting down the sidewalk and strumming on pianos.
Yeah,
the flute.
not super tool baggy jazz Peter.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, I always envisioned, as I was watching him when he was becoming dark and he was in the piano bar or whatever, I had an Anchorman flashback and thought he was going to pull out a flute out of his jacket and
play some jazz flute for us. Yeah.
Now, this is kind of interesting.
Which I would have made the movie better.
Yes.
While looking up Samuel L. Jackson, the newest thing announced on his list is Nick Fury. Not as the character as a movie.
No, they've kind of.
Let's hope it's a remake of the David Hasselhoff.
Ooh, we could only wish.
And Hoff is going to
play
Fury.
He'll play Max Fury.
Yeah, he'll play 16 Fury.
His body double. Wait, he's LMD. Yeah.
And they will battle it out.
Yes. Don't hassle the Hoff.
Nope, do not. But yeah, I wouldn't have a problem if they do, you know, a darker Spider-Man story. I guess.
Yeah, Kraven's less, huh?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I could see it, but I don't know. Maybe I was kind of a fan of the original,
like,
so I think it's a little tough for me, because I liked the first two.
Yeah.
The third one, yeah, it went off a little bit.
I think.
And then seeing this all of a sudden, seeing a Ghost Rider movie after that first Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Kind of just like.
I liked the first two films.
Did you like?
But I didn't like the Goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really, really liked Doc Ock.
Yeah.
All the way around.
Oh, that second movie was good.
I thought it was right on.
I just wish he hadn't died.
They all seemed it. And Sam Raimi's movies, though, it seems like what he does with the bad guys he makes them into the bad guy, mm-hmm. and then at the end they have like this redeeming thing to them. What's... Like the goblin was, you know, begging.
He does have a redeeming quality though. If you really look at him, he tried. You know, he allowed his business to take over his ability to be a father.
Uh-huh.
And then after he's dead, right near the end, he realizes. Oh.
Which actually is really different for Norman Osborn. Because Norman Osborn is just a jerk all the way through.
You know what I think is great about the whole Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
Is Norman was played in the first one by
Willem Dafoe.
William Dafoe. Mm-hmm. There's a running joke with Dennis Leary, and Dennis Leary always says that William Dafoe's his evil twin. And I just think it's hilarious that in the fourth Spider-Man movie,
he's
in
it.
Dennis
Leary is. Yes.
Okay, now who sees him as being a good Captain Stacy?
I do.
He'll be fun.
He'll be great. I mean, did you guys watch Rescue Me?
I've watched a couple episodes here and there. I mean, he's good. I like him in serious stuff.
He's still going to, for me, he's still going to have that smart alecky.
Comic-y.
Yeah, I just can't get over.
He was in that one movie, they were a bunch of hit. He was a gangster hitman or something like that.
For him, I can't get past the ref. That type of attitude. Yeah. I can see that coming out in him.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Reynolds, I'm sorry.
He's Van Wilder.
Yeah, I mean, and he would have been the perfect Flash for me.
Yeah, I would have been fine with him as Flash, but not Green Lantern.
But not Green Lantern. I refuse. I haven't even watched it. I refuse.
I saw it and was thoroughly disappointed, but I think I went in expecting
Batman. You
know, well, not that I was expecting Batman, but I guess I was expecting something that would appeal less to mainstream, and I think that was my issue. I mean, but it seemed like they had tried to take the first couple years of Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern and cram it down and make it more concise, but Johns doesn't even write concise. You know, Johns likes to write his big six-part stories that flow into the next six-part story. So they tried to introduce Krona and Parallax and Sinestro and all these other things at the same time, along with Hector Hammond. And
there's way too much going on.
Yeah.
I mean, is it me, or is Green Lantern not your kind of upfront character like Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, that type? I mean, he's more for the fanboy, more for the serious comic reader. Just your Joe moviegoer is, all right, Green Lantern, what do I do with it?
Yeah.
Well, but the same thing could be said about Iron Man. They had the problem with Iron Man. Most of the people didn't know who he was, mm-hmm. and it was a big hit, and it grew, and I think Green Lantern could have, but I think they tried to do too much.
I think it's all in how you set it up. Iron Man, they set up really well. I mean, they made it relevant by moving the origin story to, you know, making it relate to terrorism in the Middle East. That's something that people are already familiar with.
Yeah.
And then with Green Lantern, they threw everything together, but I feel like they could have spent more time in establishing that there is a larger world outside of Earth. He was kind of on Oa for about 10 minutes.
Okay. So I still haven't seen that one, but the one concern I had that I heard was why have him fight a universe threat as his first thing.
That was what made it a little
more credible. A little smaller, you know, not necessarily a bank robber, but...
Well, first of all...
Ryan, stop.
Jeez, gosh, sorry, yeah, Ryan.
Really, then why does Daredevil work?
Why did Daredevil work?
Affleck.
Ben Affleck. You said that. That's your
Garner.
That was Colin such a Farrell. Bad movie.
Anybody.
The only cast member I really didn't have a problem with in that movie was Michael Clark Duncan. I thought that was an interesting choice.
I didn't like that only because...
But you're a Daredevil purist.
No, I'm not a Daredevil purist, but my idea on that, the casting director, we need a big guy.
Well,
he's like the de facto big guy. It's like you can't find
and
another...
And at that time, I think that's what everybody was doing.
Yeah.
Big guy. Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, we need a big villain. All right, let's
go.
So
I had no problem with him, you know, being black or anything like that. He was just so stereotyped.
Okay.
As, you know, we need a big guy, so of course it's going to be him.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't that the character, though, in Ultimate? Wasn't the Kingpin?
No. He was pretty much identical in
Ultimate.
The best thing about that Ultimate arc was just Spider-Man making fun of him for like 10 pages. It was really funny. He was just bouncing around saying like, "Hey, I bet when you cut yourself shaving, marshmallow fluff pops out."
Yeah, he did do that.
It was really good. Yeah. That book's worth a read just for that.
Yeah. Kingpin wasn't bad at all.
Did you see, though, that there's a Total Recall with Carlin?
Yeah, I saw that there's a remake of Total Recall. Yeah, like you said, with Colin Farrell, and I just... Total Recall to me will always be Arnold Schwarzenegger and Gas to Mars. And it's one of his best movies. It's, if you haven't seen Total Recall, see Total Recall.
Sorry, I'm finally getting myself in shape.
Yay.
I love Total Recall until the end.
Oh, when everyone's heads are blowing up?
I know, I just remember seeing the theater going, okay, that should have ended like 5 minutes ago. That was
Yeah, it kind of drags on, but... I mean, the special effects of the heads exploding was really cool.
I remember a big mushroom cloud in the sky or something. I saw it in the theater when it came out.
I just think the greatest is when he's pulling the...
The tracking device out of his nose? Yeah. And they have the fake Arnold head. And it's like they just have him like off the side of the mic. And
then he's throwing the head later when he's dressed up as the big woman.
You're going to watch this. You're going to like it, I promise.
I can only handle so much Schwarzenegger.
What?
Then you're going to have to catch up because then you're going to see the Expendables.
Wouldn't that be funny if they got him to play Thor?
I'm the god of thunder. Look out. Where's my hammer?
Get on the chopper.
He did play Hercules a long time ago. It was like one of his first movies. And it was before he could really speak English, so he's dubbed.
Subtitled.
Yeah.
Hercules in New York.
Yeah, Hercules in New York. And he's like, he's going around with this like... It's like they tried to get Woody Allen, but they couldn't, so they got the next nerdiest guy down. And he's supposed to be, like, helping this guy not be as much of a nerd. And he's like, wow, who are you? And you expect, like, I'm Hercules. And he's just like, hi, I'm Hercules. But it's coming out of Schwarzenegger's face. It's so weird and jarring to see.
The best scene in that whole bit is where he's on the chariot race. Yeah. In downtown Manhattan.
It's so weird.
B-movies.
I'm sure there's Hercules comics. It ties in.
Yeah. You sure?
There was a Saved by the Bell.
New Gen City. I knew it was over.
Going off the rails again?
Need more supervision. I just can't provide it.
What would have
now
happened?
I understand why Jeremy allowed it to go to Saved by the Bell. He couldn't stop it.
Right.
We had him out of there.
Probably just sitting there shaking his head I was at the counter.
We threw him in that closet back there. That's why he couldn't hear him.
We duct taped him up.
What if, because back in the 70s, what if Arnold... would have gotten the Hulk, and Lou would have gotten
Hercules?
Conan. Ooh. Because they were both up for Hercules, or Conan.
Were they really? I didn't know that.
Huh.
They would have kind of been hard to understand.
Lou. My defining moment.
Well, in the first movie, he didn't say anything anyway.
Yeah. In my mind, for Lou Ferrigno was, you guys, Tom remembers, none of the rest of you will, but they had Battle of the Network Stars.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And there was one, they had to pick up a refrigerator and run with it. And Lou Ferrigno did, and his legs
just snapped.
Oh, I remember that. Whenever I think of Lou, anybody ever says Lou Ferrigno, I have that picture of him sitting there with his leg at a really awkward angle.
Oh, that sounds awful.
I remember that.
There you go. Wow. Hey.
Okay. And he never moved refrigerators again.
What? Jeez.
Like, hello. Oh,
was it? Okay, well, I might be wrong. Apparently that was Franco Colombo.
Oh.
Phone ringers off at the table, please.
Ah,
jeez.
Trying
to watch the movie.
Was it? Oh, okay. Yeah.
They had a refrigerator, and he was a chiropractor. Can you imagine him working on you? Franco Colombo was probably 5'6",
big bodybuilder,
250 pounds.
Yeah.
That was close. Yeah. It was 1970s. Well, give me a break.
They were close.
Fidelity's creeping in.
A long, long time ago.
They're really close friends anyway. Okay. Arnold, no one really liked him because that's why he won against Lou from a number of times, just because he talked him out of it.
I see.
I got to know Lou.
You will
well.
Not compete.
I'm going to beat you this afternoon.
Austrian mind control.
Something like that.
He's a sleeper agent.
Yes, he is.
Bringing that back around to
Captain
America.
He's a Skrull, maybe.
Winter Soldier.
He's a Winter Soldier.
Oh, Winter Soldier.
And a Skrull.
I haven't read number 2 yet, so I don't know what's going on.
Good. How's that series going?
It was good.
First one was good. It's funny. The sales have not been strong, mm-hmm. and all I can think of is a lot of people who were liking Cap are just kind of like, been there, done that.
Right.
Why are you doing this again?
Yeah.
Because Sean was very surprised when I told him, you know.
Sean Wheeler or Sean
Sisson? Sisson. Hey, Sisson. Just at how poorly it's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it did good, but.
Yeah. I mean, I've been vocal in my. I like Brubaker's idea of Winter Soldier, but I can't get into his Cap stuff. So I was
this is perfect for you. We're back to Winter Soldier.
Exactly. Yeah. I was thinking about picking it up, but I don't this want it to get so tangled up in his... I feel like he always is like, oh, and then there's these Russian people, and they're bad, and they're evil, and it's like, that's really stereotypical for... But I understand he's going back to the Cold War, so it kind of fits, but I just don't want to get lost in his strange detective conspiracy theories.
Well, this is actually going more into the past of what he is.
So that is the stuff that I like.
And it's also showing that he wasn't the only one.
Right, yeah, I remember
that's
that
what
being,
he's after. So all in all, that's basically it right now.
Yeah.
But as a story, it's been pretty good.
Okay.
I've enjoyed it. The second issue I thought was pretty good. Uh-huh. So one thing I read that I really did like, though, was and I can't say this much about the point issues, but I really liked Amazing Spider-Man, this point issue that just came out.
I saw a really good review of that. It was whoever the guy is on CBR that gives, like, the really harsh bipile reviews. Is that Augie?
No beating at the table.
Yeah, geez, come on, we're trying to watch the movie. But yeah, there's a guy on CBR who gives like really harsh reviews every week.
Yeah.
And he's really been liking Amazing Spider-Man. He said that point one issue was one of the best issues like of the month.
The Spider-Man books are the only books that I can even read right now in Marvel. Like the Scarlet Spider is one of my favorite books.
You guys have been saying Scarlet Spider's been good.
I mean, it's just like it's like old school Peter. Like yeah. There's nothing else.
Because it's Kane.
No, I know. But it's just, like, there's nothing else interfering with the book. There's no, like...
Yeah.
There's no tie-ins. There's no
I think
events.
That's what a lot of us are looking for in a lot of Marvel books. There's a lot of just not, you know, everything is just getting in the way of everything else. They're all, like, tripping over each other.
Well, there's the new Fantastic Four or FF that's coming out that ties Spidey and Human Torch as roommates.
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to that book. Because it's like a throwback.
Yeah.
So, like, right now, like, the 52, I love the story arcs. But the other things are...
Yeah.
Painting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of worried about this whole Damonites thing in DC right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't want a big crossover. And if they do a big event crossover, I really hope that it doesn't, like, tie into everything. Yeah. I hope it's its own separate book.
Yeah.
Same with this Pandora lady.
I'm so looking forward to her.
See, I'm not. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens with that one. Yeah, that one I'm a little curious about, but I'm not big on the Damonites or whatever tying into Superman.
It's going to tie into the planet of Pandora.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a bunch of tall blue avatars running around. It's
going to
be exciting. Michael Bay signed on.
Michael Bay signed on?
Yeah, they're making it into a movie.
Supposedly he's. I heard something about Transformers 4.
Yeah, I saw that.
So another Pocahontas with blue people? Is that what we're talking about?
Maybe. No, not of Avatar.
Oh.
Transformers.
The Transformer books. I mean, you know what? Listen. I know some people have said that they're not a big fan of the new Justice League because it's all action. There's no real story going on.
Yeah.
I dig it. It's like a Hollywood production summer movie, right?
Yeah.
Transformers works for me. Every movie I've enjoyed because that's what it is. It's a lot of stuff blowing up.
Yeah.
It gets that mass appeal.
I didn't so much like the last one. I don't know why I just didn't like it. Maybe I wasn't just interested in... Well, the bad guy interests me, because he was a traitor, basically, and I didn't know he was going to be a traitor.
But see,
yeah.
I watched last night, the old G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the new G.I. Joe.
I'm excited for the new one, just because of the cast.
It looks
good.
Just that scene with the White House with the flags dropping down. I'm like, yes.
I think a lot of people had a problem with the first one, mainly because of the suits.
Yeah.
That was... What was that?
But like, did you see this time around, Snake Eyes doesn't have a mouth?
Oh, he doesn't?
Yeah, you remember that? He's got the shield, but this time he doesn't have... It's a mask. Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't get the rubber nose and mouth.
Yeah.
Which was just
weird. Still going to be Ray Park?
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
He's
phenomenal.
Who else do you get to play somebody like that?
I mean, it's interesting... I did catch a little bit of that last night, and I liked G.I. Joe growing up. You know, we had the big 12-inch dolls in the early 70s.
Uh-huh.
And I was not at all a fan of this new movie and the previous one.
Uh-huh.
But watching Snake Eyes fight, I mean, every move, you knew it was Ray Park. You know, you put him next to Darth Maul, I mean,
and that's who it was.
It's a fighting style.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine if Van Damme would have been in. I mean, he's an actual fighter. He knows how to use the weapons. I mean, he's legitimate.
It seems kind of interesting that the cast that they're choosing for this movie, it's almost like they were like, okay, we got to bring this movie back. You know what I mean? Because they brought, Bruce Willis, The Rock, You know, yeah, The Rock is Roadblock, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember who Bruce Willis is in it, but he's going to be in it. They have a lot of some of the same cast. I think the one of the Wayans brothers, the one that was in the first one, isn't in this one.
Okay, he's not Ripcord anymore.
No, it didn't look like it. Just a whole bunch of different.
Wasn't a fan of what Tatum Channing is Duke.
Yeah, I wasn't not at either. All. I could have seen so many people was
anybody.
As Duke. Yeah, and yeah, he just didn't fit the bill. But otherwise, I mean, the movie itself, I think it was nostalgic, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean
that I liked, but there were so many things in that movie that I was like, oh come on, you know.
Yeah,
Deathstroke. I like how they gave Deathstroke the origin of, you know, being from this family who did arms. It fit the ties in to all that, you know, what he is and joining in with Cobra, and then finally Cobra just taking over that whole organization and just straight out becoming Cobra.
If it's just for me, it was, you know, even later in some of the cartoons, it was a little too spacey for me.
Yeah.
You know, nobody died.
Yeah.
Everybody miraculously parachuted.
Even the movie. Do you remember the old cartoon movie?
Yes.
Okay. Duke is, like, stabbed in the chest with a snake or something, and it puts him into a coma.
Nobody dies.
Nobody ever dies.
Which I get that because, you know, back in the 80s... you didn't dare do that in cartoons.
No.
I mean, you know, even growing up, I mean, my brother and I looked at each other and said, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
As much as we liked the shows.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fun, and, you know, we were into it, but we were like, this is still kind of hokey at the time, you know. Yeah. I wonder if they took it and spun it back to Korea, or spun it back to Vietnam, or
yeah,
spun it back to even World War II.
Yeah.
For that matter.
Hi guys.
And given it more of a military feel.
We just lost Ryan here, so.
you know, more of a military feel instead of the hokey spaceman type stuff. And
yeah,
like you said, those suits.
Yeah, the suits were just too much. I just think, yeah,
two flashes in a black suit? Come on, that was a little much for me.
And
Exo Man of War.
They cost $1 million and they destroyed them both, I think. You know?
Yeah, that was just
I think that's where they succeeded with Transformers, with all the military aspects of it that they didn't do with that movie, and I think they should have, because
Transformers had
it
cool military liaisons, and G.I. Joe did not.
Yeah. So,
what's nice about Transformers, you could throw them into any time period, and it would still work, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave you a little bit of that backstory that they've been here since the dawn of man, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so I don't think you really have a wrong way to go there.
Yeah, I agree.
And I do agree about, you know, lots of explosions and car chases and helicopters blowing, you know what I mean? All of that. It totally works, and the little kids are into it.
Yeah. But the thing about that movie, Transformers took off with kids. G.I. Joe, I don't think it did. And I don't think it had the impact that they were expecting.
You know,
you don't see G.I. Joe still on the shelves now.
No, not at all. Well, I mean, they're making the action figures, but all they're doing is redoing the ones that they originally made.
Yeah.
With the little 4-inch guys.
They're the, see, that's what, actually, that's what I had when I was
repackaging
the cartoon. Yeah. And I didn't even see that much of it. You saw a few for the movies when they came out. But Transformers stays on the shelf every year now since then. Marvel characters have been on the shelf since the movies have been out.
Yep.
I mean, so G.I. Joe, I don't think it did. But frankly, did you see the trailer for this new movie?
Hmm.
It looks good. It really does.
I'll give it a shot.
I think everybody was just... I think that's why I kept hearing about it, because on Facebook when they released it, it was just like... Everybody on the Facebook was just like, oh man, why do I want to see this movie again? But it does. It looks good. So I think they may have made a comeback, but I guess we'll just have to see with that one. The last Transformers, I didn't get into it all, though. I don't know what it was, and maybe I'll have to watch it again. I thought it drug a lot. At the beginning.
It did. It had a little more of a serious overtone. And it was still Transformers, but it kind of grabbed a hold of guys my age.
Uh-huh.
I'm 44, you know, just like, whoa, this is a little more...
Yeah.
I want to say adult, but I don't know if that's the right...
direction to go down. It's
you're saying it's more of a nostalgic, you know, that you grew up with this. That's kind of why you're wanting to.
It headed down the road for me to stay away from being hokey.
Yeah.
And we know Transformers isn't reality, but
yeah,
it was written well enough and animated well enough that it felt real.
Yeah.
I thought they rushed the animation versus the first one. They paid a little more attention to it.
Yeah.
But there's so much action, unless you're really watching for it, you don't get to see it.
Yeah, you don't really get to see it.
You know, being an artist myself, I pick movies apart when I see that.
Uh-huh.
But it was still enjoyable for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All three of those movies, though, I really just enjoy. I thought they were good movies. The second one I liked, I think the best. Just kind of, I like Megatron, and you don't get to see him too much in this. That was one problem with the third movie that I didn't like. I thought the battle with Megatron wasn't epic enough.
Not at all.
You know, all he did was Optimus Prime just grabs him, just like, you know.
Yeah, that was...
Just busting him apart. He was so weak, though. Like, what were we going to expect there? An epic battle? So that didn't even lead up to it. You know,
you would expect Optimus to pull Starscream apart like that.
Yeah.
But not Megatron seems to me like the guy who stands back and barks orders. I mean, like he did in the cartoons. He really didn't get into much.
Yeah.
But when he did, it was heavy. And it was.
Yeah, it was going to be something. At least he doesn't turn into a huge gun anymore.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was kind of disappointed, but, you know, and I was...
I like the jet, though.
Yeah, and the jet, you know, like looking at from the toy perspective, the sculpt, some of the robots transform really well, and they transform really well in the movie. But some of the other ones, I'm like, oh, that's terrible.
Well, see, a lot of it also has to do with back in the, what was it, the 80s, I guess, they had to decide, they put a rule on guns that you had to make toy guns look very, very different.
No, they had to put the red tip on them.
Red and orange tip.
Well, that goes back to the Nintendo Zapper, and I was just talking about that not too long ago, that the original Nintendo Zapper was gray.
Yeah.
And now it's orange. Well,
right.
The most modern one is orange. They had to jump back there. I think they had problems with the Megatron, I thought, of the Transformer.
Well, he was gray and black.
He was metal.
Yeah. Metal. All the Transformers
were metal. They had to change that.
To this day, I still have him. I have him, Optimus, the original Bumblebee.
He was a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, and it's so nice because they're so...
It made sense why he was called Bumblebee.
And they, yes, and they transformed
well. Because
he was a bug. That, like, just even the, remember the Voltron?
Oh, absolutely.
He was all metal. The only thing plastic on him was his wings.
Yes.
The red, on the black, the red wings that came out on the back. And then they had the Voltron 2, which were all the vehicles.
They were metal.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's too expensive.
Yeah, that's when toys were real. I mean, I think they should all be made metal with lead-based paint.
But they last. That's all right. Metal with lead-based paint?
I'm all for it.
I had to catch on to that one.
If you're dumb enough to suck on a lead-based paint car, then you deserve what you get.
Well, Colin sells plenty of those leads there. He's always telling me to taste them.
He's like, lick them.
You mean I can't?
They're chewable.
Chewable. I mean... Sinestro's arm didn't taste that good, but...
They made binkies out of that stuff, for God's sakes.
Binkies?
Yes, lead binkies.
Yeah. That is awesome. And Tab.
That is awesome.
You know,
Tab was actually made in a lead can.
A woman I worked with, they took Tab off the market for quite a while. She ordered it through this distributor, and she always had one in her hand. If she didn't have it, you better just stay away from her.
That jolt.
It's like a change of pace.
I think it was the first. Was that the first diet soda?
Probably.
I know this isn't having to do with comics, but Tab.
No, I think Tab was.
Pop culture.
Oh, it's pop culture.
Yeah, you guys haven't gone too off the rails.
No.
But we're still staying within pop culture.
See, again, now I understand the problem. We need
pop culture.
Well, no. Adam just goes crazy.
Pop culture. I get that. That took a second.
All the puns today. Chill.
Too many
markers. No, cool.
Oh, did I start this? Oh, no. I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Ryan would have been so upset.
I know. What's he just leaving in the middle? How rude.
He hates you. He told me. What?
Fair enough.
Told me.
That is rude.
Yep.
We got no Jeremy, no Nick. It's crazy.
Nick texted me. He said he's too sick to even podcast. So.
You have Chad.
It was that drink he had at the Sharp Edge.
Yeah.
Root.
No,
that was at the podcast.
That was at the podcast.
We have a lot of drinks here at the podcast.
So, what do you read lately, like, Tom? You got a little eclectic taste, a little varied stuff.
Well, let's look in my bag and see what I have.
You didn't
this
read
week.
That yet.
I know, but there's some I'm excited about reading.
Batman by Vampire.
Peter Panzer Files, so I'm excited about that.
That was good.
The first Fatale.
You know, it's funny.
Brubaker, I like.
You just got the first one last week, right?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to be okay. I was confused because there's a lot of characters and I couldn't tell who was who. I got very confused, and especially when they're talking about different characters. I couldn't remember.
It's okay.
I know. It's all the... Well...
Yeah. It's okay.
I read Secret Adventures.
I love you're here.
No, I read New Adventures and Avengers.
My car?
It wasn't bad.
Oh, it's a super. Never mind.
I'm actually enjoying New Adventures better.
I did. I like that. I like how it ended. My problem with that is just how badly it's going to get derailed or ended quickly because of RBX.
I actually not minding the Marvel turning Osborn into Lex Luthor. Because it's basically what he's doing.
The omnipresence.
But I want the Goblin back.
I just don't like the...
As a Spider-Man.
How strong he is.
Yeah, that was something.
You're hurting me.
Yeah, that's a trick shot, they're calling him. He was like, he's like, geez, when did you get so strong? So, I think that's going to be interesting.
But it's going to come to a very abrupt stop.
Do you think it'll hold off until we get back from AVX, or do you think it's not going to make it? Do you think it's not going to make it end
for AVX? There's going
to
be a giant...
I think it's going to have to end before AVX.
Yeah, you think
so? That means it has to wrap up in 2 issues.
And a story that hasn't been too bad is going to be derailed by something that we don't, an unknown.
But where's Ultron? Where'd that story go?
Ultron. Good question.
But hopefully the Phoenix comes back and cleans everything up.
Might.
I think she will.
It might. With all the talk.
Oh, Jean Grey's going to show up. Be exciting.
It's coming.
I'm looking forward to the new 104.
What?
The new 104. Instead of the new 52, we're just going to double
it. I don't think Marvel could handle doing it.
The new one?
I don't think they could handle doing the 52. I think they'd still... What haven't they done of... like this. They've restarted their numbers and they've started new, you know, type of thing with the Heroic Age. What happened?
Well, that was like last Saturday. We were going through... We weren't. Jeremy was taping books and he came across... He came across .2. It was Avengers 89.2.
Oh, yeah, that was...
89.2.4.
Yeah. No, that was... Yeah.
It was bad. They've done the point before. Well,
that's the way that new Amazing Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
It's got a .1 on it.
No, this this was a story. It was like 1.2 and then 3.4.
It's a continuation of the points. This isn't something they've done.
After watching Doctor Who.
You're such a hater, Chad.
Yeah, Chad.
I just haven't read Marvel in so long.
When I first started coming here, most of my books were Marvel. By the next year, most of my books were DC. And now I get my Marvel books. I don't read them.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like, I need to read something. And I read it, and it goes in the box, and then I forget about it.
I've just been disappointed.
The only thing, like I said, the only thing that's hanging on is the Spider-Man stuff. That's the only thing that, I mean, Fantastic Four, it's been okay.
Yeah.
Recently, it's been okay with the return of Johnny. And
yeah, with the...
It's coming together, and then...
It's FF that I have the issue with.
Yeah. Well, that I'm telling you, that FF book that with Johnny and Spider-Man roommates, I'm pumped about
it. I just don't know how much Fantastic Four I could take of Hickman, because this story has been going on forever. And there's only so long I can hold on to this story and just be like, what happened a year ago with this book? You know,
well, the only thing
I can't even think back that far in a comic book. You know, it's too much work just to read the thing. Even Grant Morrison knows where to call it quits in a story. And I just don't think Hickman is just calling the story quit. So, actually, I've thought about that being on my chopping block next.
It'd be exciting if, like, they got Ennis to take over Avengers.
I couldn't see
him. Alan Moore.
Alan Moore.
No. He's just bitter at the world.
Oh, yeah, he won.
Most, I mean, I get a handful of DC books here, but most of what turns me on is the little guy companies that just pop out of nowhere.
So like Luther Strode.
I like it. That's Luther Strode. I like it.
That's been a great book. Quibi Caligula. Caligula has been good.
What? What, Curtis Wiebe? Is that what you... I missed that.
But I mean, like, my favorite books right now, I mean, that I'm reading, the, like, I can't wait to the next issue. It's not the New 52, it's The Boys.
Yeah.
No?
See, well, I started reading that, but once I saw the hamster, I was done.
You didn't even get to see the love sausage.
I couldn't.
Aww.
And I have a sick sense of humor, but once I just...
It's a little more...
Hamster was a little much for me.
Are you reading? Have you read The Boys?
Yeah, I've been reading it in trades.
Hamsters awesome. Are snake food, as yeah, far as I'm concerned.
At some points, I'll be reading it, and I'll finish up a one of the trades. I'm like, what did I just read? But then I just want to read another one right after that.
Right,
so
after
I don't know
you take a hot
on.
Shower, you're like, oh,
no,
God,
I gotta get this.
I'm
on.
Dirty. I'm so filthy.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But no, I've actually enjoyed reading it.
It's kind of like a really bad car wreck. You just can't turn your head.
Yeah,
you just got to continue watching.
I just want to see where more this is going to go. Does that say something about me?
Are they going to pick this guy up and his skin's going to slough off or what?
I'm excited about these that are coming out.
Oh.
Yeah. The camel.
Yeah, Batman. Batman was really good this week.
I want a He-Man book.
About a He-Man book?
Yeah.
I want to know when 100 Bullets is
going to
hit.
Oh, you want a He-Man book.
I want a He-Man
screen.
A good one.
Yeah.
Like something that I grew up, like the books that were in the toys.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
They had a cartoon not too long ago.
No, that was horrible.
Yeah.
It's like Thundercats. Have you read Thundercats?
I haven't seen the new Thundercats.
Oh, my God. I mean,
it's awful.
It's okay, but it's not...
It's too Japanese anime for me.
Yeah,
here's a question. Is anybody creative anymore?
You?
Well, not really.
Take it upon yourself and make one.
See, that's probably the main reason I go with some of these not mainstream character books.
Because you're wanting to see something new.
Yeah.
For a change. Yeah.
That's why I like iVampire. It was like nothing that I had expected.
Yeah.
I mean, Resurrection Man, awesome.
Even though if I see like let's say Star Wars. Okay, I like the Star Wars franchise, but you know, they just keep bringing them out and
well,
out and out.
That
and
new
out.
One right now.
And now it's in 3D. And it's just like, why? Just because you wanted it to be
in
3D?
Don't get me started.
Have you read
you know,
the...
If it's an obvious money grab, that has
yeah.
to be the biggest obvious money grab.
What's the new book out? Is it Agent of the Empire or something like that?
Dawn of the
what
Jedi.
Is,
what's
well,
the, a lot
is
of
it Agent of the Empire?
It's one of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good standalone book. I mean, it's good.
I mean, a lot of it's springboarding off the MMO, I think, right now, the new Star Wars MMO.
And that NBC Universe Online did so well.
Well, now that it's free, the population of the players is...
Is DC Online free now?
Yep. Yeah. Now, that's limited.
No.
You can only have two tunes at a time.
Okay.
So if you want another one, you're going to have to delete one of your tunes you had before.
Huh.
But
still, that's a lot to play still, though.
Yeah.
For free.
I mean, Conan, I'm playing that now. I gave up on WoW. It starts to be too much of a 11 million person single player MMO.
Well, there's an MMO game coming out with Marvel characters, but I think you can play as the Marvel character, which is exciting.
Yeah.
For
I just
a little
saw
while
that.
Until
they
introduced
there's... Cyclops. I guess
yeah.
is going to be a character now.
And they got Thor's on there, Iron Man, Cable, Deadpool.
There's only so much I can play those, though. I like to have a linear storyline sometimes, you know?
Wait, I mean, think about it. When you played the X-Men Age of that
Rise of Apocalypse
game, the X-Men games that transcended into the Ultimate Marvel Universe games. Those were
Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, Ultimate Alliance. Those games were awesome.
Yeah.
Those like were them. Fun games.
But in an MMO, you know, when I first sat down with DC Universe Online, I thought, oh, it'd be cool to be Batman. But when you go, if you think of World of Warcraft, I don't know if you've ever played, you go to a major city, and you see 500 Batmans flipping around.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know if I can handle that.
That's Batman Inc.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's all the same stuff.
Do you remember the Welcome Back, like, after the PlayStation Network crashed? The Welcome Back pack that they gave you was the Batman cow.
Oh, really?
So, like, everybody got that. So that there was, like... You didn't get it?
No.
Why?
I don't know. They downloaded like my two free games, and one of them was the zombie, one of the zombie games that was free, and it disappeared, and I can't get it back. The only one I was able to keep was Wipeout, which I like, but the sound is bad on it. It crackles every time I play it. Huh. And Sony's...
Yeah. Deal with their customers.
Oh, it was nice spending the afternoon with you,
Chad's
Adam.
Chad's leaving now, too.
I've got to go sort some books.
Okay.
And Tom,
yes, sir,
for joining us.
Absolutely.
See you guys.
We'll see ya. Well, one thing that was just brought up recently, maybe you've heard about this. The new kids line of books at Marvel. They're bringing out Ultimate Spider-Man, which is kind of funny. It's based on the cartoon that's coming out on whatever Disney's XD is. Brian Michael Bendis is working on it. But it's Ultimate Spider-Man.
Wasn't that supposed to be for adults? A little more serious?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. And the thing is, Ultimate Spider-Man, it's not part of the Ultimate line, but this is Ultimate, like... That's Ultimate Comics, Ultimate Spider-Man. This is Ultimate Spider-Man. One starring Peter Parker, which it should. And the other one starring the Ultimate Comics version is Miles Morales.
Yeah.
The big, you know.
The new kid.
The thing, yeah. The thing about this thing that I just can't understand is they're bringing out a book based on, you know, a book that they just rebooted completely. Did a total 360 with it.
Yeah.
They're making a cartoon out of it to get kids interested. The original book doesn't exist, and they're making a new book of it. What was the whole point of making?
I don't even know.
It's just, it seems so confusing.
The whole thought of running out of ideas, I think Marvel's scrambling.
I think so, too.
I really do. Their movies are... the only thing that seems to be keeping them afloat right now.
But I think the reason a lot of it has to do is they're trying to make their movies into their comic books. And they're two different things.
Yeah.
You know, you got two different audiences there. Yeah, you're going to get your comic book fans that are going to come and see a movie because it's based on a comic book character. But they don't want to see it in their comic books. They want the original continuity to stay the same. A good question with that is, or a good example of that, is Nick Fury. It seems like that this new guy in Battle Scars is going to be our new Nick Fury sometime. He's losing an eye. He's, you know, they're trying to bring in a Samuel L. Jackson-esque.
Well, I mean, in the Ultimate, you know, in the Ultimates, he was drawn to look like Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was planned the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't know, but
in this, it seems
well
like
done.
They're going into the direction of Nick Fury is going to die, and this is supposed to be his son. And his son is going to be the new Nick Fury.
And they're done that.
Who knows if that's really what they're going to do? That I don't know. I can't
confirm. How many times
that.
Can they do that?
Yeah.
In comics, just in general. I mean, do you reach a point in a story where, you know, the writers and editors go, man, we just cannot go any further?
Yeah.
Here's his long lost son. We found him in the jungle somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
He fell and poked his eye out, and now he's
now he's
Nick Fury. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
And I don't know. Maybe it's with me. There's just way too much going on in Marvel Comics right now. There's this guy and that guy. Even in Spider-Man, there's a lot just going on at one time.
Well, and if you being I'm a school teacher.
Thanks a lot.
I know it's probably going to blow a lot. A lot of this, you have to erase half of what we said. Kids as a whole, they have a hard enough time. You know, let's take away, you know, all the Facebook stuff and all the computer stuff. They have a hard enough time staying focused.
Yeah.
On a story by itself.
Yeah.
And when if you broaden that story, if you don't have, you know, that strong continuity, if you don't have that linear perspective like in video games.
Yeah.
And it starts to go too wide. It's like asking a third grader to read Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just too. Even
it becomes
if you,
too much. I think that's what really happened with Star Wars. Star Wars has such a huge universe that it's not even, you know, it doesn't. There's no way I'm ever going to be able to figure that out. And with X-Men in its own, you know, X-Men 2, it just. I find a hard time just jumping on the X-Men just because there's so many X-Men titles. You know, it's almost like a universe of its own, separate outside of Marvel. So,
and where do you start? If you just, or you're going to jump on, where do you start? I mean, guys, yeah. I haven't read X-Men in years.
Yeah.
I don't even know who's on what team anymore. Yeah. Wolverine has his own team.
There's too many people, I think. I think that's why a lot of people are liking Wolverine and the X-Men, because it's just Wolverine and the X-Men. You know, and group of students. And that's what it's supposed to be. Not necessarily taking on the whole entire mutant populace.
Right.
You know? And that seems like what Utopia did. And when I was reading, I was like, who is actually a character in the X-Men anymore when I was reading that book? And I was like...
Is it just a town?
Is it the whole civilization?
Yeah.
I mean,
in the 90s, I think it was mid to early 90s, the X-Books went all over the place.
Uh-huh.
There was a ton of X books. There was a lot of Spider-Man books. There was a lot of Batman books. Still like Batman. And then they saw, hey, man, this isn't working. And didn't they dial way back? And now they're doing it again? Yeah. I don't get it.
That seems like what's going on. And, you know, I think that's where DC was doing that, too. And
yep.
You're right. I couldn't jump into Superman.
How many
there
Superman
was so
books?
Much
remember
Superman just to jump onto that it was just like there was no point to it. I think that's why I like the new 52. Because it's so simplified, but can Marvel pull that off?
I don't
if they're
think
even
so.
Trying? No, I don't.
I don't think,
think
they're even trying.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to try because they. I've seen them do it. You
I mean,
know,
do they think? Well, we're Marvel.
Age, they brought everything, a lot of their comics back to number one. All their Avengers books. Well, not their Avengers books. Avengers they did. Well, I guess New Avengers and Secret Avengers. Yeah, they did. They brought them back to number one.
Oh, okay.
Did that help it? What did that actually do, besides put it under number one on?
Yeah, all, you know, any of the other comic shops I visit, if I'm out traveling, I'm bebopping around, I just stop in and just poke around, you know. And you know, you listen a little bit. It all seems to be the same thing. Nobody talks about Marvel unless it's... I don't read Marvel anymore. It stinks. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when are they going to do something good and different?
Yeah.
And everybody's, you know, thankful, like you just said, thankful about how DC, you know, started over and the stories are good and they're strong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah,
maybe
DC,
it's just,
it could turn into that later on down the road, but I think it's about ready, you know.
If the marketing, maybe the bottom line is the marketing department says that we need to do this and the writers go, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're at the mercy of the marketing guys, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
And that's not a place to be at, because they'll
absolutely
try to get
not.
You anywhere.
Should be the other way around.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I've got this story, figure out how to sell it.
And it seems like DC was doing that a little bit with, like, Batman and stuff. They're letting their writers write.
And it got really, really bad.
And that's the thing. Also, the thing about when we record the podcast, sometimes people will think we are being kind of negative towards Marvel. It's not necessarily that we're being negative, I don't think, and it's not me.
No.
I'm trying to be negative towards Marvel itself.
No.
I just want to see something a little bit better and a little easier for people to collect and get. Be able to get. And I think that's, you know, that just needs to be like that. I think that's why it's hurting. Not necessarily, you know, we love these characters.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's why we're probably, well, we're so bummed or upset or feel disappointed or whatever it is. These are great characters. We all grew up with your list of characters you grew up with.
Uh-huh.
And when they go down a, you know, a road that you're like, boy, this is really...
It's disappointing.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and I haven't seen that yet with Spider-Man. I mean, it seems to be going that way. But what happens is all of a sudden Spider-Man will end up with tons of books, and he started to.
Again.
That worries me. Because, you know, they actually decided to decrease the amount. I think this was maybe 2007, 2006 maybe. They decided that they cut off a few of those books.
And then one of the books was
Spectacular was out.
Yes.
Peter Parker was out. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man was out. They cut these books, and they brought out Spider-Man three times in 1 month.
I was just going to say, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like every other week or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. And it was just like, you know, that's just, first of all, that's too much for anybody to get in 1 month.
But if it's
or a kid, if you're trying to get them in the comic books, how's a kid going to get a comic book? Three. So it's like, if you let marketing decide any of this, yeah, it's just not going, you know.
I mean, just, you know, the companies like this, it should be based around the writer and the artist. Okay, man, we're a great team.
Yeah.
We put a book out. Man, everybody's jumping on it. Let's market these guys.
Yeah.
Let's get them out there instead of, okay, we have one title, we need to break it down into six titles and call them all something different.
Yeah. It just becomes such a hassle on the customer. I don't think they see that. I think if they see if they bring out a bunch of things all at once, at least two of those things are going to stick. You know, not necessarily.
Well, you can see.
Or they just give up on the whole franchise.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could see, you know, a lot of companies doing that, you know. Frankly, in anything, I mean, Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
How many different flavors of Mountain Dew are there going to be?
Yeah.
They come and go. I mean, all right, I get the business end of it, you know, but you got to stick with what works. And if you come up with something new, just throw a little couple miniseries out. And if it's well received, then you do something with it.
Yeah, exactly. But I just don't know where they think this stuff out. Like, Avenging Spider-Man, that might be, people might be enjoying that book. I don't know. But I didn't want to add a new Spider-Man book, you know. But it's not necessarily a problem that the book exists. If I don't want to read it, I won't read it. And the story will go on. But it's when, and they haven't done it yet, but if it starts crossing into Spider-Man titles,
it will.
Then what am I going to have to do? Go out and find that book and then get stuck on this book? I'm not going to do it.
We all got sucked into that.
Yeah.
Through Civil War, we got sucked into that with 52.
Yeah.
And after, you know, for me, not quite halfway through, and I kept buying the books, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
The story is so weak and watered down now,
yeah,
and they're crossing over into so much, and I'm an adult, and I can't keep track.
Yeah, that's
so fine. If your main audience is what, like 8 to 15, if that's your main audience, there's no way in this world they're going to focus on that all
it's,
at once.
Yeah, exactly. It becomes way too difficult to read any of it. And,
no, if that's all you have to do throughout the day, all right.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, there's only so much some people can actually get.
I'd like to sit those guys down that wrote these books and say, can you keep track?
Yeah, can you keep track? My favorite is when they'll restart the numbers and then they jump them back to where they used to be. It's just like, do you collect these books? The people writing these collect these books? Because if they don't, they're just, if they really want to kill off the collection of comic books, which isn't a safe bet for a comic book company, that's how they're going to do it. Because it does. It becomes really, Fantastic Four, I think, was, it's just horrible how they did that. They ended Fantastic Four, started it up as FF. And then what happens is, Fantastic Four comes back with original numbering, FF stays the same. Where do I file FF and Fantastic Four? Now Fantastic Four or FF is a new title, but it was a continuation. So that's where it, you know, it's really confusing. You don't do that to your customer.
Is it because I got tired of writing out the words Fantastic Four?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this graphically this looks better as FF. I don't know. I mean,
But bringing back the book and then having that filing system, you know, in your boxes stay the same. But then FF is now a new series, but FF has to stay in there because it's the continuation of the Fantastic Four story. You can't do that.
See, I'm already confused. So
yeah,
it's
very confusing. Just how they box these things. It's really hard to explain. But, it's just, if they could just make it a little easier. I don't know if they're going to do a DC move in the future. bring out a new 52 of DC Comics. Who knows? But
I'm starting to notice, and I don't, I guess I don't read everything, but I'll pick up a book and I'll go, who's this guy?
Yeah.
Okay, he's from the Golden Age era. Okay. Now they're pushing him to be, okay, I understand the marketing thing they want to bring out, bring these characters back. I get that. But then it tends to lose the nostalgia. You know, like, I like to go back and read this book.
Yeah.
I like to go back and read that story. But it just seems that the creative level, either artistically or in a literary sense, it's just not working.
Yeah.
So, and that's probably another reason why I don't pick up half the books I don't
pick up. Yeah. So, yeah, but I think that's a lot of it. I think they just, somebody needs to change something and how they structure out, how things come out, you know, what comes out, you know, let the writers write, you know, for a change.
You know, what's wrong with just repackaging those old issues?
Yeah.
Nice new cover on it. You know, maybe some, throw some pages in between and talk about the character.
Yeah.
If you want to grab a hold of somebody, what better way to do that than a big trade of all the original cool stuff?
Yeah. Who knows what they do?
I mean, you know, you back up and say, well, we could sit here and critique all this stuff all day long. You know, again, being an artist, I look at books and I go, how did this guy, this is terrible from my, you know, an artist standpoint, but they're working and I'm not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, we can sit back, but aren't we the ones that, the guys that have something to say, who buy the books?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you listen to...
to us a little bit?
Just
a little bit. I mean, I understand they can't listen to everything, because sometimes it doesn't work all the time.
You can't make everybody happy all the time.
Exactly. But I just don't see it. I don't see them worrying about, you know, how much, you know... And, yeah, I could choose what I get.
TV shows
of books.
Change the station.
Yeah, exactly. But when they're crossing into something I already like, I don't want to necessarily get rid of it because I do enjoy the book, you know? So I don't want to end it, but they force your hand, you know?
I've got so many books at home. You know, this series I stopped at 13. This series I stopped at 26. This series I stopped at. And for collectability purposes, it goes right out the window.
Yeah.
Then you just, at that point, you just dump it, and there's no point in holding
it. Well, that's the thing with me. I was collecting a lot of this stuff, but anymore, it's just like, if I'm not reading it, I haven't read it for a while, I'm not going to read it. And it's never going to go back to that story anyways. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to just recreate it. I'd like to see new characters in Marvel. Some new enemies come out. Whenever they make some new ones, they have been fairly well, but then some of them just don't take very well. Who was the enemy... Here, I'm asking Colin a question. He's on his way. Here he comes. Red Menace. Who was the enemy that Red Skull took over as? He was business guy.
I never read Red Menace.
You never read Red Menace?
I came into Cap in the middle of Civil War when I opened.
Oh.
I'd really never read Cap before, and I got enough of the gist. I never felt I needed to go back and read.
That kind of makes the death of Captain America kind of not unanswered.
What do you mean?
Because you don't know why he was taken out.
Well, because he's Captain America.
Oh, and that was the Red Skull.
Well, I knew that.
I don't remember who that was, but like even Sen. Sen has been an interesting character until they turned her into...
Yeah, then they took her face off.
Yeah.
And she lost her...
So I can't...
My interest in her waned.
Yeah, I can't see her as a...
Yeah, I liked her fighting Sharon Carter. That stuff was really cool.
And I thought it was interesting that the Red Skull had a daughter I didn't know about, actually, until recently. But I guess she's been in stuff.
I, of course, dug out the issue, the Mother Knight issue.
Yeah.
I think it was back when John Byrne was doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's been 80s. A little while. Yeah, some of the...
I don't even know what you two were talking about, so I'm really scared. I participated, but I'm going to have to listen to it.
We were being highly negative against Marvel. No, we weren't.
No,
in fact, I just mentioned that.
Realistic from the business end of it.
Of what we'd like to see out of them necessarily being fans, right. Is what we're saying.
Yeah, we kind of backed up and, you know, stepped back a minute and said,
yeah,
we love these characters.
We just don't want to see them falling apart. That seems like
what seems to be a very common theme, even online, is, you know, they are, you know,
people certainly prefer Spider-Man and Captain America over Superman. You know, Superman's a little boring.
Yeah.
A little staid.
I can see that.
Yet, you know, certainly they're not enjoying this current storyline. So I don't, you know, maybe the architects we need to come up with, you know, the engineers or something.
I think they need to stop worrying so much about having groups of people and just let creative people be creative after a while. Because that's how the books were created to begin with. You know, Stan Lee didn't have anything to go with when he had thought of, you know, Spider-Man, which that might bring up a whole bunch of other things, too, with the whole Jack Kirby argument there, too, that they have. But I just, you know, it just seems like nobody has anything that they can just be creative. They're just rehashing these stories. I think Marvel is telling them they have to do that because that's what Marvel is. But if you don't let them create new things, you just have the same... You're just rehashing the whole thing. I know you're trying to market what Marvel is, the Marvel Universe, but you got to add to the Marvel Universe. You can't just contain it. I think they've limited on, you know, doing that. Like, even then, I'm excited about the Ultron storyline that's coming up, whatever that is. It's Ultron. How many times are we going to see Ultron? You know, the most creative thing I think they've done recently is Wonder Man. And of all characters, Wonder Man being the most creative character that they have.
Yeah.
And his Revengers. The idea of Wonder Man being upset because he thinks the Avengers need to be gone. Like, they don't... Are you familiar with these
characters? Not at all.
Okay, Wonder Man came back after everything that's been going on. You have Siege, you have Secret Invasion, you have the Dark Reign, you have the Superhuman Civil War, you have the Incredible Hulk, who has always been... You know, he's always created problems, but he's never been held accountable because they can't.
Right.
You know, he's never... The Avengers, they don't really fix things. They just either hide them and wait till them to blow up again, or, you know, something happens. That they cause more problems being in existence than they have to be, is what the thing was. And that's what Wonder Man believed. And he forms this Revengers team to just take him out. Not necessarily kill him, I don't think. But just basically to take them down and say, you need to end this. You know, Avengers don't need to exist.
So because that's they different. Kind of don't finish things? Or
it's mainly because the Avengers seem to make things worse by being in existence. That's what he believes. That, you know, we wouldn't have things like the Hulk and, you know, the Hulk doing this. And, well, you know, you put him on his team. You put the Hulk on your team, but he's like kills people, you know, inadvertently. Yeah, he's a loose cannon. You got, you know, House of M that happened with the Scarlet Witch. You know, she's dangerous. She's been one of them. You know, something keeps happening with the Avengers, and it's never taken care of, and he thinks that if the Avengers don't exist, then we wouldn't have as many problems.
They're a little too liberal, maybe.
Yeah. They're kind of their own kind of, and he wanted them to be ending. But to take Wonder Man, an Avenger himself, turn him into this little darker type of character. So
almost like a Batman feel?
Not necessarily. Kind of like, I wouldn't want to say Magneto, but he has a different take on, you know, what they should be, if they should be anything at all. You know, if they should even exist. It's more of a political thing, in a way, that he just doesn't, he thinks they cause more problems and, you know, they don't need to exist as this team.
Sounds like a shot at the government right there. I mean, just that thought process, I mean, I get that.
Yeah, and it is. It's just, and for, what was it, two issues, I think? They started a little bit at the beginning of this last Avengers reboot of number one. The last two annuals of Avengers, New Avengers and the Avengers have this storyline that's basically they go after his team of Revengers. One of them is Goliath. And did you read Civil War?
Yeah, but it was so...
Goliath was killed in Civil War. Right. Well, he had a nephew, and the nephew joins this team. You know, there's just different characters that are on this...
Here we go again.
This team, yeah. One that I thought was really weird, though, of a team... what was it? Anti-Venom. I thought he was really odd. But the only reason I think he was on it was because there was a Spider-Man... They needed a Spider-Man for the team. But he also, he's not necessarily against, like, Anti-Venom is different anymore. It's Eddie Brock. Are you familiar with Eddie, or Anti-Venom?
Right.
Okay, well, basically, you know, he's a he's the cure for the symbiote, basically. He's the only thing that can actually kill the symbiote. He's the opposite. And he's on this team, I think, mainly because he's not necessarily a bad guy, but he's not necessarily a good guy either. He's kind of just trying to cure evil, basically.
Right.
And actually cure it. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, that storyline, I really thought that was a good run on that. That those two annuals, they were just, it was just a fun read. Quick read, fun read.
Yeah.
You know, see, it had an ending, you know.
See, there again, if that to me, that sounds like the idea I said before about, you know, a miniseries. Hey man, this worked out well. It was well received. Let's do something with it.
Yeah.
Now, how far do we go with it? Do we do it a maxi series instead of a 5-year run and watch it go downhill? I mean, that maybe, you know.
Yeah. But, I'd love to see a lot more just come out of creative. Like, the main reason I've been liking Batman recently is the Court of Owls. It's brand new.
It's brilliant.
It's something for me that hasn't been rehashed that I'm like, okay, you know, this is, you know. And this generation, you know, this is a new bad guy. This isn't the Penguin. This isn't the Joker. This is the Court of Owls. You know, it's new. And that's the kind of thing, you know, we need. What is another book that had recently kind of a new switch up to it? Aquaman.
I don't read Aquaman.
Aquaman has just took a total turn. It's funny how it's not a character you would have thought would be that great. But it's a fun book to read. The thing about it is, it pokes fun of itself too.
Really,
it has Aquaman poke fun at, like even in the book they joke about Aquaman. Oh, he's just Aquaman, you know. He's not Superman. He's not. That's fun because it relates you with the book. Because I'm sure we all have had those feels about Aquaman. They're like, oh, come on, Aquaman. He talks to fish. But they joke about that stuff in the book.
I just watched a Big Bang Theory episode when Raj didn't want to be.
Yeah, he didn't want Aquaman. To be Aquaman. That Aquaman costume that he wears is hilarious.
Really bad.
Where he's riding a seahorse. But yeah, it's been a fun read. It's just kind of new stuff. Kind of they're relating it towards some of it towards the book. So I think you just go with it. So
I was happy to see Nightwing kind of bring him back to the circus days.
Yeah, bringing Haley Circus back.
That was brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I haven't read issue 5 when I just got 6,
good.
So I'm not real.
Yeah, it was a good book.
I want Red Hood. I love the idea of Red Hood.
Uh-huh.
I get why he's the way he is. Uh-huh. But if they would just get Starfire out of there, I'm sorry.
I think that's a lot of people's problems with it. That seems like an odd character to be in that book. I understand Arsenal being in it.
Yeah, wasn't that Speedy?
Yeah, it's Speedy.
Okay. I mean, it works for me, but maybe they could just be together. But I know you got to have a chick in there.
Yeah.
Which, whatever, but it's just
Starfire.
You don't
really have, Catman, not the DC Catman, but the original Catman had Catman and Kitten. You know what, you can't use Kitten in there. It's not a DC comic, so. Oh well, I guess you could add you already have a Robin on that team. I was gonna say you could take what's her name, Stephanie Brown, but she was only Robin for so long.
Yeah,
no. I always like when they throw those two Robins into the Robin lineage. They always throw in her as being Robin, and she was only Robin for like a couple issues. And they always throw in the one from The Dark Knight Returns. And
that little 2-foot tall.
Yeah, who didn't even stay as being a Robin. She became like a Catwoman in Batman Strikes Again.
Yeah.
So I can't really.
So bad.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just don't see it.
There's just so much. I mean, when Colin, you know, brought up Superman being kind of, well, I'll say it, lame. I would read more of Superman.
Uh-huh.
If it was a little bit darker for me.
Yeah.
And that's just me. I mean, you know, when people think of...
Well, it seems kind of interesting, you know, that Grant Morrison jumped on that action. So, I don't know.
Love
action is going to... Yeah, it's been good.
Now,
he kind of jumped off the rail just recently. It's jumped off into somewhere else off story. But knowing Grant Morrison, it'll jump back
in. I like where it
somewhere started. Makes sense.
I'm just afraid of where it's going to go.
Yeah.
I see that. Maybe I'm just super ultra picky. But I get a lot of books, and I get a lot of, you know, when a series starts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then that's all I can take.
Yeah.
They just go in a direction, it just gets too hokey for me. And
yeah.
You know, some characters you expect hokiness. You expect, all right, citizen.
Yeah.
You expect that, and you kind of look for that.
Yeah.
But some of them, they just go, I mean, you expect Green Lantern to be in space, and like you said earlier, with all the different universes, that's okay, that you expect that to go that route.
Yeah.
But when Superman starts crossing over into that,
yeah,
I know he's from another planet. You know, I get all that, but I just, again, just for me.
Yeah. I think Superman's actually kind of a hard character to write for, though, because
it would be. He's so much of a... Kind.
I think you could do so much more with Batman, being that he's normal. He's kind of a normal guy,
right,
in a way. I mean,
he's got all the toys.
Yeah. You can add bad guys to him.
You know?
That could be anything. But with Superman, it's just, he's so powerful as well,
right,
that, you know, he only has a few weaknesses. Frankly, I've never understood how Lex Luthor can be his archenemy, being so normal, you know. But he always figures out a way. I think he's the most interesting villain of Superman. But
I mean, if Batman can control Superman,
yeah,
because he's smart and he's got cool toys.
Yeah,
I don't see Lex. I never understood that either. You know,
never
Lex
got
being,
that.
I don't know. I just had a hard time.
He just, I can understand Batman even trying, but even Batman has a hard time trying.
Oh, absolutely.
To hold off Superman.
But I just think the only reason he's able to is because he's smart.
My favorite way that he does it is Tower of Babel. You've read Tower of Babel with
so
the red
good.
Kryptonite?
So good.
You know, that he figured out how to make. And actually, frankly, after reading that book, I still agree with Batman. I mean, he figures out, he's the most, you know, he should be terrified. He's with all of these superpower people. He's the only one that doesn't really have superpowers. Of course he's going to set up a contingency plan in case he has to take them down. Makes total sense to me.
Absolutely.
Even though it was stolen, who knew that was going to happen? That's the Justice League security problem, not his.
Well, that goes back to what you were saying about Marvel with Wonder Man. It's... maybe these guys shouldn't all be together because it doesn't always work.
Yeah, it doesn't work all the
and
time.
And they don't... Do they really finish anything? I mean, what are you doing here? You're causing more trouble, you know?
Yeah, kind of like House of M. No more mutants. What did they do about that? Nothing. You know, they didn't even go into, how are we going to fix this? You know, they were like, the mutants. Whatever. You know? It just... Yeah, some things just don't work like that.
It's like being the biggest kid in gym class. Everybody picks on you because you're there.
Yeah.
And then what do you do with it after that?
Exactly. Oh, it's just interesting.
I just would like to see more things like 100 Bullets.
Yeah.
More things like Walking Dead.
Yeah.
More things than as my twist as it is Preacher.
Yeah.
Work their way into Marvel and DC.
Yeah, I'd like to see... Well, what I'd like to see is them to have selection, is what... And I think New 52, I think, did that a little bit.
I agree.
There, you got your sci-fi. You got your, you know, you got your Batman-type book. You got your...
Mm-hmm.
You have your different types of Justice League, which they're going to do what they do with Avengers as well. You got your war book. You have your Western...
your vampire book.
Get your vampires, you know. You got
your science guy.
All over, exactly.
The chicks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice
you got
spread.
Something, and I think as you know, Colin being a salesperson, you know, if somebody new came in, is they're like, well, what are you into? Well, I'm kind of into the vampires. Well, you know, there's iVampire. There's, you know, you give them selection. But if you go into Marvel right now, I think it's just so too oversaturated with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think that is a little bit difficult for a new reader to jump in. You know, you get books like, as I said, there's two Ultimate Spider-Man books out right now. Okay, yeah, one is Ultimate Comics, the other one is their All Ages line. But come on, as a customer coming in, a new person, how are they going to understand that? I get that because I go to the website, I look up stuff, I get stuff.
But not everybody does that.
Exactly. So.
I mean, just. Yeah, I mean, there's so. I mean, I think Image does a nice job with that.
Uh-huh.
They're so diverse. Although they don't have Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Captain America. You know, they don't have that.
Yeah.
But there are Image titles that if you were with them from day one,
yeah,
Is it me or is Savage Dragon the only thing that really kind of survived from day one till now?
Till that, yeah.
enjoy it. I mean, it's not, you know.
He saves the day.
But they go in so many different directions so often, it's always fresh.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, it just doesn't come back.
Yeah. Now, Marvel was trying to bring some new characters into the universe. Like, they had this Marvel Point One. It wasn't a Point One issue. It was a one-shot. And it was introducing books that they're going to be bringing out. One was very similar to Wonder Twins, which, yeah, one had the power of ice. The other one, they've been secluded for years. They didn't know each other. One has the ice power. One has some sort of fire power.
That's just, you know. Oh, man. And why does Marvel have to bring all these new characters into the universe? What's wrong with just writing a book that has nothing to do with the rest of the universe?
Yeah, that's true. They could get off of... I thought they were doing that in a way with Punisher for a while.
I was going to say, that's the only character I think that's really staying away from
it. I find it odd when they bring him into the regular universe. I think he's always better on his own, because he makes sense. What is it?
Jared.
Oh, okay.
Heck, he has no business...
No, I'm good.
He has no business hanging out with Spider-Man. I really don't think he does. That's just me. It's just me. But I think he's better off on his own.
Yeah. I agree. I think, I guess if anybody, he would fit in more with, like, Daredevil, Spider-Man, of anything they could tie him into. But as you're right. I think, you know, I liked Punisher Max. Or the Max Punisher books, you know?
Yeah.
They worked because it wasn't, you know, you didn't have Captain America all of a sudden show up, you know? And
there's no need for it.
Yeah, it was basically, he's such a different character that, you know, he's avenging his family in this way. Of course the superheroes wouldn't agree with it. It's not a superhero thing.
Not
so
at all.
Don't throw him in the superhero books. You know, and then when they do, they make him out as a bad guy, in a way, or an anti-hero.
Kind of like Batman.
Yeah. So I don't see it as him being in the real continuity.
But if Marvel did that...
I think they could.
I don't see a reason why they can't. I mean,
I think it would be interesting.
Image is quite successful. Dark Horse is quite successful.
Even if they had to give them, for marketing purposes, I'm sure they'd have to give it some kind of other... type of name. They wouldn't have necessarily put like Marvel.
Such and such by Marvel.
They'll put Marvel, but they'll call it like this series, you know, of, you know, something. But yeah, I think that would be kind of cool. Just,
you know, I mean,
it would
do.
Be a different type
Marvel
of selection.
Presents.
Yeah. Now, I think they do that a little bit with their independent lines. What is Marvel's independent line?
Eclipse? Is that them?
Is it Icon?
I truly
I think
don't
it's
know.
Icon.
With powers?
Yeah, I think so.
Powers was...
Isn't Kick-Ass also? Yeah.
I thought that was Powers was originally Image, wasn't it?
Might be. I don't remember. But yeah, they...
Find out in 2 seconds.
Yeah. That book, it is... that would be kind of neat, having this.
It's Icon.
Yeah, Icon.
Oh, okay.
I thought they were... I'm wrong. I thought they were originally...
Hang on a second.
I thought it was originally an Image book.
Yeah, I think... Well, I think Icon just... They started bringing that back a little bit just recently. I could be wrong.
That's a great story.
Is it?
And it doesn't cross over into the universe.
I think they need to separate some of these characters from the universe. And I think they just need to simplify things a little bit. But I'm speaking as a reader, too.
Yeah, so. I mean, just going through the rack and just looking at all these covers, I mean, it's just too much for me to go, well, I'd like to read that, but...
Yeah, and half the time, if it didn't do well, it doesn't fit in. Like, I was reading Ultimate... Iron Man, because I was into the Ultimate stuff. And
I prefer, that's the only way I'll read Marvel, and then the Ultimate series.
And the Ultimate, well, and I was reading this book, and then later on down the road, in a book, they're making fun of that book, basically. And they had a movie of Iron Man playing, and they're like, oh, yeah, I always liked that part when they had him, you know, you having blue skin and being able to regrow limbs. I was like, okay, I guess that story doesn't make it in the continuity anymore of Ultimate. So... I was just like, okay, well, I bought that. Thanks for joking about it. So I think, you know, I think those were my final straws with Ultimate. I liked the stories. I just didn't. I knew that it was just too easy for them to just restart. And for everything that you were reading, not even make any difference. A lot of people were saying that Ultimates is actually why they made Ultimates was because... they were wanting to create, let's see.
Oh, okay.
They were wanting to do whatever they want with it. Well, not necessarily. It wasn't always about that. What they were doing was they were trying to bring in a new audience of comic book readers. And they had Ultimates out for this new age group because you couldn't just jump in necessarily. It was hard to jump into a new continuity. I jumped in on Ultimates. I was really enjoying it, which made a gateway into all the other books. I was understanding the characters better. I was trying to figure them out, you know. But yeah, they make it so difficult, and then they put Ultimatum into that. They kill off half their cast. All these characters that you like, they just decide to kill off, and then they brought Spider-Man back only to kill him off in Death of Spider-Man.
Well, it forces you into the rest of their books, is what, you know, it's kind of what they do.
And then they just restart it again. It's just like, okay, how many times are we going to do this? It's not working. If it doesn't work, end it. And start something new.
Well, and, you know, when you kill a character, you know, the death of Superman, prime example, and then you bring him back, you know, everybody has to die at some point.
Yeah.
Fine, end the story. If you're going to kill him, kill him.
Yeah.
And then just like you said, if you revamp it, but give it a twist like they're doing, like DC's doing with some of their titles.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly have never read, you know, Batman from day one, but I like the way they restarted. So what's wrong with just doing that?
Yeah.
In this storyline, we killed him. That's the end of it.
I think it works.
And never revisit it.
Yeah.
With the rebirth of Superman?
Huh?
The return of Superman?
Oh, you mean when he comes back or this side?
Either.
Oh, okay.
Just think about it. If we didn't have the death of, we wouldn't have Connor.
That's true. You're a Superboy fan.
And I would be in a very dark place.
Well, he's a cyborg, isn't he?
No, he's a clone.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a clone.
He's a clone of Kryptonian DNA, and in the original it was Lex. But
yeah.
So I don't read that. I mean, is it even worth looking at?
Yeah. 52. I don't mind the story. I think it's a pretty good story.
And Supergirl, I mean,
Supergirl.
Just from reading the little, you know, little descriptions.
Supergirl isn't one that I read, but I've never been a fan of Supergirl. Superboy helps if you're reading Teen Titans, though, because he is one of the Teen Titans. Teen Titans, I haven't had that much of a problem with, as a lot of people have. I think if anywhere, the story is moving actually better than Justice League is.
Yep.
Even though I like Justice League too, I haven't had really a problem with any of the books I'm reading for New 52. In fact, any of the New 52 books I've been getting recently, it seems like a fresh thing for me. Maybe not for a DC fan that's been a fan for years, but it was a good jumping off for me. So, you know, maybe nothing really has changed with DC that, you know, I'm saying, but I'm just enjoying it because it's fresh. And I'm running out of fresh things in comic books.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I think I've been enjoying, actually, some of these independent books, like Walking Dead, I jumped onto just recently. I've been reading The Boys a little bit. You know, just different things. I was like, okay, I need some change of something to read.
Have you read 100 Bullets?
No, what?
100 Bullets?
No, I haven't.
Absolutely need to read it.
Is it good?
Absolutely. It is, talk about refreshing.
Uh-huh.
And it has been around for a while. Talk about refreshing. I mean, it's so, I mean, just, I can remember when I didn't get into it in the issues. I just started picking up trades. And once that happened, I can't get myself to read an issue because it's too good from, I can't handle it.
Yeah.
I got to be able to read an entire, although Colin, you know, he says, and I agree with him to a point where that's one of the great things about reading issues. It gets you more excited about next month. But I just can't take it.
Yeah.
I have to have the trade. If it's something I like that much, like even some of these books, in a way I'm glad I'm reading them.
Yeah.
But I wish kind of, sort of, that I would have waited so I could read a whole bunch of it all at once.
Yeah, you know what? I like that anyways. I think I got into a habit of doing that because I'll read a lot of these trades. Like I was enjoying Green Lantern, just reading it. Jeff Johns' Green Lantern, just reading his trades. But now I'm jumping to the book of New 52 and I'm like, eh. It's moving kind of slow. Well, that's because I was reading it all at once in a trade. So yeah. I think I kind of do that to myself.
The easiest way to handle that is to get all 52. You can't possibly read them all in one sitting. And just
wait. And then wait until the time runs out, and then the new book's already out by the time you finish all of them.
it's kind of like cutting a 20-acre farm with a push mower. I love to cut grass, and you're always cutting grass.
Yeah, you'll always be cutting grass. It'll grow back before you're even done with it.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm done, Ed Chad. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
I got to eat my gyro.
You're eating your gyro.
This was my first experience at a podcast.
Oh, there you go. It's entertaining. And I don't think Colin has anything else he has to say. Do you, Colin?
I didn't think I was going to be smart enough or have enough to say, but...
Yeah, well, it all just comes out after a while.
Yeah, I'm better springboarding off of somebody else. And...
Well, here's what I really want to talk about.
Okay.
Zach and Kelly.
Zach and Kelly. What about Zach and Kelly?
Leave it at that.
All right, everyone. Take care. Just to say it.